Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Our guest today says if you're not willing to die on a hill for truth, free speech, and children, then you don't even have a hill at all. When she stood on that hill for children, she ended up leaving a high-profile career at Levi Strauss. Now she has a new passion to stand up for fair competition and protect women's sports. Jennifer Say has an amazing story, and that is coming up next. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Kurlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you mamas are joining us again this week. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. All righty, we have another terrific guest today. Let me tell you about her. Jennifer Say has an incredible sports resume. She's a seven-time member of the U.S. Women's National Gymnastics Team. She then had a long, successful career as an executive with Levi Strauss. She says she blew up her own career there for speaking out against the COVID school lockdowns. Now she is the founder of XXXY Athletics, the only brand standing up for female athletes and for the protection of women's sports. Well, welcome, Jennifer, to the Moms for America podcast. We are delighted to have you.
Thanks for having me, Debbie. I'm happy to be here.
I have been following you quite a bit, your journey, your clothesline, really what brought you here. And I just said, we have got to have this lady, this mama on the podcast because we love inspiring stories. We love that someone takes a stand, God opens up doors, and you know, who knows when you say yes to God's opening and an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being such a warrior.
Oh, that's very kind. I don't know. I'm just stumbling around trying to do the right thing.
That's it, right? Yeah. Well, before we jump into your full story, would you mind giving us an idea of what your family is? We love to meet the moms, their sure. kids, their family. Tell us about your tribe.
Yeah, you got it. I have four kids. They are very wide age range. I have two in their 20s that are no longer at home with me. They're 25 and 22. And then I have two much younger, 11 and 9. I got divorced, unfortunately, and wasn't done yet. So I have
two groupings. I love that.
I have two pairs of kids, two bigs and two littles. That's what we call them. So yeah, four kids, which, you know, is a lot. I lived in San Francisco. No one in San Francisco has four kids. I don't live there anymore. I'll get to that. I was born in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, grew up in that area, ended up in California for 35 years, San Francisco, because I went to college in the Bay Area at Stanford and then moved to the city. Loved it for many years, then didn't love it anymore. We can talk about that. And now I live in Denver with my two littles and my husband. So that's my family.
It's your journey. Isn't that something? Do you think you've got two and then opportunity happens for another two? So you're really kind of in the heat of it as far as raising the middle ones.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I totally thought I was, you know, your mom's probably like a little personal, but I completely thought I was done. You know, I had my kids and my early 30s. I was very happy with my boys and life didn't quite go as planned. And I knew I was going to find the relationship that I wanted and deserved. Yeah. And I did. I sort of assumed, given my age at the time, that I would meet someone who had kids and we would blend our families. And that's not what happened. What happened is I met someone who had never been married and never had kids and wanted them. And I thought, well, to me, more kids is more love. So let's do it. Throw another one on the pile and let's go.
And you know, we do. We love that as moms. And, you know, to hear everybody's stories and everybody's journey is always so interesting. So I love that you are in the midst of kind of your second round of motherhood. So, yeah. And that's really kind of what brought you through your journey. We know that motherhood brings us through all kinds of journeys, battles, seasons, valleys, mountaintops, the whole thing here. So can we get a little bit of background with you? Because I like to know your journey with sports, actually. Yeah. So you were a gymnast in the 70s, right? And I mean, 80s.
No, both. I started in the 70s. I just started a few years after Till 9 passed. You know, I started in 1974, but I really kind of came into my own in the 80s and was a national team member for 7 years, starting in 1980, and was the national champion in 1986. It was a different time, certainly, but sometimes the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I think the training environment that I endured hasn't really changed sufficiently in gymnastics. Despite all my successes in the sport, I left completely, totally broken. I mean, just emotionally, physically, I had an eating disorder. I had a very injured ankle that I had trained on. It was broken for 2 years while training. And you can imagine, I just, and just incredibly abusive coaching. So I kind of unraveled at the end, and I, you know, limped away from the sport feeling like a total failure despite all those successes that I reeled off. And you know, the sport is, it really demands total obedience. You know, the athletes are to be seen and not heard. And so, you know, for me to find my voice as an adult and stand up for myself and my own kids and the kids who train in the sport has been a real, it's, I hate the phrase, a journey, but it's been a process for me because I grew up in an environment where you were not to speak, you were to do as you were told, even if it was against your own best interest. So if I can do it, if I can kind of pull myself out of that obedience hole and find my voice, then I always tell people you can do it too, because I started at a real deficit and I had to really do it as an adult.
Retrain,
Re
break,
exactly.
almost like break free,
Well, I had
right?
to feel I was worth it. I mean, that sounds so corny. I don't mean to make this like an
No,
Oprah
it's
show, but
true.
like if you grow up in an environment where everybody's telling you you're worthless because that was the training culture, you're
How,
garbage, you're
I mean,
fat, yeah,
we've
all the
heard this,
things.
Jennifer, of
Yeah.
about this type of coaching happening, and you always kind of like you're so removed from it. We've heard about this all over the news, actually, from sexual abuse to
Yeah.
physical abuse to
Everywhere.
mental abuse, and that is really a horrendous thing for a young person to grow up on, clearly.
Yeah, and no matter, you know, my parents are amazing. They're both still alive. They're 83. Nice, supportive parents. You know, I was this really driven kid, and I think I must have been pretty hard to parent, honestly, because I just wanted to train more, do more. And I would have hidden and did hide any sort of injury from them, whether it was physical or emotional, because I didn't want them to stop me from doing the sport. And frankly, I moved away from home when I was 14, so they didn't even see what was happening. I moved away from home to train. Now, they did get caught up in it in the end in a way that was not great, and they feel bad about that. You know, it's this microcosmic world where abuse is the norm, and the parents and the kids are told that's tough coaching. And it really isn't. It's a pretty bright line in my opinion between tough coaching and abuse, and this was abuse. Look, my weight was announced over the loudspeaker twice a day. I was called a fat pig. I was food was taken out of my hands. I was training on broken bones. Like this is, I don't think that's a fuzzy line. That's clearly abuse. You're a mom. Would you allow for that? No. But when it gets normalized in elite gymnastics, then the parents are afraid to protest, right? Because they think their kid will be targeted, and they've put so much into this, and the child has put, I mean, I was training 8 hours a day by the time I was 12. And so you sacrifice, you know, your whole life. But here's the thing is, I
Incredible.
always sort of knew in somewhere in my mind, in my heart, that the things that were being said to me about me weren't true. And that I thought if when I walk out of the sport, I'm gonna have a life. I'm gonna have a different life. I'm not gonna be a coach, I'm not gonna be a judge. I won't think those things about myself, but I did because a child internalizes that kind of emotional
Well,
abuse. And
it was a part of your development. You know,
exactly.
someone
And
tells you you're something for so long, you start
you,
to believe that. And
right.
especially in a competitiveness like this, that
Exactly.
you're afraid not to be who they want you to be or
Yeah.
making you to believe you need to be. I can't even imagine. But you wrote a book about this, right?
I did. I wrote a book because 20 years after I left the sport, I was a very normal person. Yeah, I was a mom with two kids. I was married. I had a great job. I worked at Levi's at the time I started there when I was 29. I'd risen the ranks. I think I was a vice president by the time I wrote the book. But I was just, I was just I couldn't shake the feeling of never
Yeah.
being good enough. You know, the anxiety, the just the I was so hard on myself. You know, I was anxious and depressed, and I never thought I was good enough. And so I really, at almost 40 years old, I sat down and I tried to make sense of that. And the way that I did that was writing a book versus therapy, which I think was
Wow.
probably a pretty good way to do it. And I learned a lot about myself. I came to understand why I still struggled with these things. And that book became Chalked Up. And it was released in 2008, right before those Olympics. And it was the first, I was the first gymnast that talked about the abuse. And I talked about the emotional, physical, and the
Think
sexual
about
abuse. The
that.
national team coach that I traveled around the world with, Debbie,
Yeah.
was a known pedophile and rapist. And they told us just avoid him. Just don't be in a room with him because he's a great coach. So you just have to, you know, don't let him close the door when he comes in your room. Like,
Can you
even if
imagine?
I can, even if
I
he
mean, can you
doesn't,
imagine now with your kids or just
no.
anybody hearing that or just like, and if it was norm, it became a
Totally norm.
normalcy.
And the thing is, because I evaded him, I did travel around the world with him. But if you're told as a child that, look, we know this guy, just avoid him, like, what does that say to the child about their worth? You know, that alone says to the child that they aren't worth protecting, that he is more important than you are. His feelings, his weird whatevers, his crimes are more. Because he is a considered a great coach, his reputation is more important than your health. And that's a really awful message, obviously, to send to a child. And I think there is, we'll talk about obviously the issue of males competing in women's sports, but I think there are parallels there because the message being sent to young girls is that boy's feelings matter more than your rights.
Yeah, it really sets us up for the whole trajectory of women, just don't have the rights. They're not to even be protected. Because now, like you said, not only do we have sexual abuse with coaches, it's gone right into the locker room with
Exactly.
peers, so it really was a stepping stone, clearly, once you open up these doors of, hey, you don't matter. Your feelings don't matter. Your abuse doesn't matter. Then we get all kinds of problems. So then,
Exactly.
I do want to go past this, but I do want to mention, what about this with Dr. Leary and his conviction in this
Yeah.
documentary, Athlete A? This kind of all broke in a certain time, right? Period.
Yeah, so I wrote the book in 2008, and at the time, for many, many years, I was the only, not just gymnast, but you know, high level former athlete that was willing to speak out on this. And I'll tell you, when I first did, it was really brutal. Like, this is where I got schooled in being able to withstand the blowback and the name calling because the community did not want me to say what I was saying. So, you know, my friends, my former teammates, coaches, USA Gymnastics, they were just dragging me and calling me a grifter and a liar and all these, you know, the stupid things that they call you now that I'm used to, but at the time I wasn't. But in fact, it strengthened my resolve because I felt like, what are they hiding? Like, it's even worse than I can imagine if they're going to come after me and tell these lies in this way. And so I went harder and it, you know, I did not back down. I decided I don't want any other girl child to train under the conditions that I did. And so if no one's willing to speak up for them, then that will be me. And eventually others joined. But so I knew before the Nassar case broke that it was coming because, you know, journalists had spoken with me beforehand in their investigation because I was the only one talking about it. And so I became very involved and friends with many of the victims that came forward. And I worked closely with the civil attorney who represented a few hundred of them to help him understand what the environment was like. His name is John Manley, and he's a real hero. I just want to say that. And so I decided that I wanted to make a film, a documentary about what happened, not just in terms of Larry Nassar, who, for those of your listeners who don't know, was the doctor for Team USA Gymnastics for 30 years. And he abused, I think, close to 500 athletes under the guise of medical care. And it was covered up.
Unreal.
Evidence was destroyed by USA Gymnastics. I mean, all sorts of terrible things. He's
And
now in.
the media really didn't even give this, I don't think it gave it enough play in the media so people could even understand. I think they addressed it and then they quickly tried to get away from it.
You know, it's interesting. My gripe with how it was covered, which is why I made the movie, was I think the media was too compliant in taking USA Gymnastics and USOPC, the US Olympic Committee's word that this was one bad apple. And now we've, the sport has been rid of this one bad apple. And my intention in making that film, Athlete A, which came out in 2020 and did win an Emmy, and you can watch it on Netflix, was to say it's not one bad apple. It's the entire culture that is rotten to the core. And that is what allowed a man to abuse for 30 years. Because I'm sorry, 30 years, no one knew.
I
Plenty
mean,
of
come
people
on.
knew.
We know plenty of people knew. Yes.
So that was
Absolutely.
my intention. But the case of Nassar, I mean, he was, I think, the most prolific pedophile in American sports history. So it changed the game a bit. I was invited to speak with senators in 2017, which helped get the Safe Sport Act passed. That same year, which is intended to protect young athletes from abuse, set up something called U.S. Center for Safe Sport, where you can report claims of abuse, and they're supposed to do training for coaches and parents and kids. It's not really working. I mean, I think it's well-intentioned,
Right.
but I think it points to the it makes the point that we can have laws and we can have legislation, but culture change is really, really hard. And
Yeah.
just because we have a law in place doesn't mean everything changes. And it's really interesting, Debbie, that when I went to DC and I met with Senator Dianne Feinstein, and all credit to her because she was the one that made this happen, she said
Okay.
to us, there were 10 of us in the room. I was the like old lady talking about history, and they were the Nassar victims. She said, I will pass a law, but you have to change the culture, and that's going to be more difficult. And I mean, I think of her words often, because she could not have been more on point with that, because we're
I
still
agree.
battling this, right? It's
Yeah, we
8 years
still
after the law passed, and it's not like the sport, any sport, is free from abuse. So
are.
onward,
Right.
my commitment is to trying to change the culture.
Well, right after this short break, Jennifer Say will tell us about her big comeback when she starts her own company. All that's coming up right after this break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. Well, moms, welcome back. Before we continue with our interview, I want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share the podcast with your mama friends. This is how we get our podcast out and get information like Jennifer sharing. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, would you please email me directly at podcast@momsamerica.net? I would love to hear from you. Lastly, I want to invite all of our moms listening to join our movement here at Moms for America. I surely hope you're a part of our mama team here. We're the ultimate support group, and we would love to have you a part of our group here. It's moms like us all across the country uniting. We're fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you join? You just go to momsforamerica.us, check out all of our information there, sign up, join the newsletter, and we will keep you posted, and we will help support you in your journey through motherhood. All righty, now back to the show with Jennifer. The reason why I love hearing your story is that courage is contagious, And that when you can see what one person did in a section of their life, you'll see how God just continues and moves them in this journey of standing up and giving them strength. And that was a foundation for you for what came next. So now you mentioned that you were Levi Strauss, young, moved up the corporate ladder. You were kind of big successful, opportunities in your career there, became chief marketing officer, then brand president, right? What happened where it kind of blew up your career there at Levi? I mean, now you've got a different battle, same but different, I guess.
I worked there for many years, 23 years, which is very unusual in the corporate environment today. People hop around a lot, but I love the brand. I wear the brand. I think they're the best jeans. And they have a very an incredible story, honestly, over 150 years old. And I just really connected to it. I'm a big believer that there's an old saying in advertising, you have to eat the dog food, which means you have to use the products that you market. And I would never work for a brand or on a product that I didn't believe in. That's just the fact of the matter. Like, life is too short. I got too much that I want to do. I'm not going to do that. And so I just did. I loved the brand. I loved the product. I believed in it. And so I worked my way up the ladder. And I will tell you, it wasn't easy. It is, things are better for women in corporate America today. I think it's important we acknowledge that. It was tough in the 90s. It was not easy. I won't get into it, but it was not easy. Anyway, I loved it. I was a CMO for 8 years. I was a brand president for two. I lived in San Francisco, which is super left, as you know. And I pretty much
And were you
was.
conservative at that point? Where were you in your journey?
No.
I'm just curious, where were you kind of politically or on the did cultural issues matter at this point in your life?
I was a committed left of center Democrat. That's how I would have described myself for many
Left of
years.
left.
I
You
would have
woo.
said that. Yeah, I mean, I often didn't vote for the Democrat. Like, I never voted for Gavin Newsom as mayor, which I am proud of because he's terrible. But I voted for like the Green Party candidate, So you
Well,
guys can mock me. I'll explain the
that's okay.
journey.
That's okay. Everybody lives and learns. That's okay.
But the reason, I think what's important to note is why I
Yeah, that's what.
felt that the Democrat Party was the party of free speech, which I think the history was, that they were defending the Nazis' right to march in Skokie and all those traditional examples, free speech for the vulnerable and the underclass. And
Right.
I thought they were the party that was anti-war. Like, those were, and I thought standing up for the little guy, against
Right.
greedy corporate interests. And
Right.
I think when I grew up in the 70s,
The party was so different then. I
I think
mean,
it was
yeah,
true, and
so
I grew
different
up
then.
in a Democrat family. We're
So different,
Jewish.
yeah.
Jews have traditionally been Democrats by and large. But what changed it for me was COVID. And I had
Yeah.
already in the late teens had some like inklings. I was like, I don't like this. I don't like that part, but that's okay. And
You
then
could see
COVID.
the move, the Democratic Party moving so left, so progressive. And a lot of Democrats will say the party left us. We see this across the country. We talked to a
That's
lot of moms that were kind of like, hey, I was a Democrat. I was, a liberal. But then all of a sudden, liberal became something else, or
Yeah.
progressive became the new norm. And it's just changed. I mean, COVID really did expose a lot, the takeover of our medical rights and the masking and
Yes.
the schools and
Yes.
vaccines and all this
Exactly.
ridiculousness. All of a sudden, everybody was like, "Hey, like, where do you get this thought that you can really do all this?"
And
And all of a sudden,
censor
people are,
everybody, the
right? Oh yeah,
censorship.
you could not talk about anything, clearly.
Yeah. So COVID for me, like my husband and I in San Francisco were very outspoken from day one. March 13th, everything shut down, and we were like, no way. This is not good. This is bad. This is illiberal. You cannot lock us in our homes. You cannot shut kids out of school. I had
Right.
three kids in public school at the time. And meanwhile, the private schools are all opening, and all these like self-avowed quote unquote liberals are yelling at people like me with kids in public school that we can't have what they have. Like, the elitism was just grotesque, in my opinion, you know, because they're sending their kids to private school for $70,000 a year, and they're telling me San Francisco public schools are 60% free and reduced lunch. So that means these are kids living right at or below the poverty line or hovering near it. These are
Oh,
kids
wow.
left home alone, no parent to mind them, no
Right.
Wi-Fi, nothing. Like, we're neglecting these children, and it didn't take a genius to figure that out, you know?
Right. And then say, go online. No one's there to do it, to help you. And then you've got all the depression, all the, I mean, the
Awful.
suicide rates, the
The
weird
whole
things that
thing.
happen online. The whole thing was just terrible,
And even
clearly.
if, yeah, so, you know, from my perspective, the lockdowns, one, can never happen again. It's the
Yeah.
most egregious
Agreed.
violation of our civil liberties that has happened in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Two, I don't care how dangerous it is. You know, stay home if you want to stay home. You cannot lock us in our homes, because
Right.
if there is a point at which the government and public health says, well, but this is really it, it's so dangerous, they'll manufacture that. It was manufactured during
It sure
COVID. The
was.
vast majority of us were perfectly fine. It was nothing. And we harmed the most vulnerable children, frankly. So I was
We sure
super
did.
outspoken about this. My husband and I, we were holding, you know, rallies to get the schools open.
Oh, you really were. That was
Oh,
great. Good for you.
we were not quiet.
Yes.
You know, I was on the local news first as like that crazy mom, and then eventually more people kind of came to see my view. But this was not a popular
Yeah,
view in
no.
San Francisco, as you can
Oh, I'm
imagine.
so sure. I'm in Chicago out here, and it was not
Oh, you
popular
are.
out here to stand up either. But when they, I remember my son calling me and saying, like, I can't go into a restaurant or to the gym. Like, I was like, okay. He's like, this is, it took all this to happen, I guess, for us to realize where it was going and how capable they were of really controlling America and just walking all over the Constitution.
Unbelievable.
So now you're
So
out,
then
you're
I left.
speaking.
So
Yeah.
then I'm speaking out. It's not going great for me. All of
No.
corporate America is attacking me online. My
Oh.
following is growing. Not huge, but growing, because there weren't
Yeah.
that many moms speaking out from the beginning, and we were all finding each other and supporting each other. And I eventually
Right.
moved. I left San Francisco and I came to Colorado. You can say why Colorado, it doesn't matter, but the schools were open. And my kindergartner, I wanted him to be in school. He had gone from this
Sure.
happy, boisterous kid to like what I would call depressed for a
Yeah,
6-year-old. So we
for
came
sure.
here. He started school, never missed a day since. It was terrific. And then, you know, I ended up resigning because it wasn't really feasible for me to, you know, keep going. At
You couldn't
Levi's,
be in that position in corporate America. Corporate America doesn't like it when you speak out, or companies. We know that. I mean, you got to stay on the message they want. They don't want you to do that unless it's a conservative company, probably, I guess.
which there aren't really
Many.
that
Yeah.
many. But what I didn't realize, so I resigned in February of 2022, and I had a really storied
Was that hard for
career.
you to leave?
It
Or
was,
were you just felt like it was over?
I guess both, you know,
Okay.
both of those things can be true, I guess, at the same
Yeah.
time, right? It was sad. I mean, 23 years, like the friends
Yeah.
I had, I mean,
That's what I'm
weddings, baby
saying.
showers, parents' funerals, like this was my life,
Yeah.
you know? So now you're gonna make me cry. It was
Oh.
a very, no, it's okay. One door closes, another
But
opens.
that's it. I mean, just like you said, I mean, that was a huge, that wasn't, it's just a chapter. That's like half your life,
It was
and
exactly.
your working career. So, but you know what? When you know that one, it's over, and sometimes you don't understand why it's over, but you know that, there's more to come. There was more for you to
I knew
do.
that. I
There's
needed
more
to
for you to
lick,
do.
there was, is. I needed to lick my wounds for a moment and, you know, cry a little bit. Not unlike getting divorced, because I think when you get divorced, which is a sad, sad time, you know, you can be really sad about it and also know it's the right thing and also know that there's something that will be better for you out there. And I wish it never happened, but that's what happened. So it felt similar. And in fact, I worked at that company longer than I was married the first time.
That's
So
what I'm saying. That's a
yeah,
long
it's a
time. Well, good.
really long time. And you know, my friends that I had there, well, look, my COVID dissenting ways separated me from almost everyone I've ever known and been
Isn't
friends
that?
with over the years. So they found my views, you know, not just my work colleagues and friends, but my friends, like my friends from college. Like I
Isn't that
don't,
horrible?
it, I, yeah, even family members, like I don't really have any connection to, there's maybe one, but most of the people, the vast majority of people from my kind of before time,
That
before
world.
COVID life, don't talk to me anymore. And I used to be really sad about it, but then I thought, okay, you guys think I'm a terrible person because I said kids should go to school during COVID. Well, I think you're a terrible person because you didn't say it. So I'm not really going to be upset about
You kind of
it
had a kind of come to a realization
anymore.
that maybe we're just not, either one, we're going to agree to disagree, and that's it. Or two, we're going to at least we're on the same team. You might not agree with everything, but I mean, really, most people, I think now when you look back, most people are like, wow, what a
Do you think?
bad. I
Do you
do.
think
I
so?
mean, because I think the people that saw what came out of it, I think you have to look back at it. I think if you were in it or if it was still fresh, you couldn't look back at it. And I
True.
just think that people understand a little bit more, like, what was that?
Yeah. I
How
just
did that ever
worry.
really happen? I don't
I worry there hasn't been a full reckoning, and I
know.
worry it could happen again because I think you're right. Most people look back and they go, even if they were all in, like, okay, maybe it went a little far, but they did their best. And, you know, not necessarily conservative moms, but non-conservative moms, I think they still sort of think, well, we didn't know, which isn't true. We did know. And they would fall for it again. So I worry a lot that we haven't
I do
kind of
too.
had the full reckoning. But anyway, I left my job. I sort of cried for a while. And then I realized I needed to get a job. And I, started to interview. You know, I had this great career. Won every award you could win. And I when I would interview Debbie, I for big jobs like CEO jobs, that kind of thing, I would get the question, "Will you apologize for what you've done?" Meaning, like, will you bend? This is in 2023. Will you basically bend a knee and apologize so that we can kind of cleanse your reputation, and because your skills, you've got it. But and I, of course, was like, yeah, that's not happening. I was right about
And
everything.
Jennifer, were they also saying, and don't ever do that again? If you're here, probably.
They didn't say that part out loud, but that was the implication. And certainly, if I'd gotten to the phase of a contract, that would have been clearly iterated, like, do not talk about anything political. So,
Although, should COVID be political? That's the
no.
other crazy part of this,
Girl,
right? The health of our children, education of our children, the freedom, the Constitution. I don't know how that all became political, but it sure did.
No, I
All
was
right.
about to say that you couldn't be more correct. It shouldn't be like, don't we all care about kids getting an education? Why is that political? So I dusted myself off and I said to my husband, we need to come up with something else. And I just started to think, even though it wasn't what I'd intended to be doing at this stage in my life, I might be able to do my own thing, like start a brand. And I felt like, and you had asked about politics. Like, it was very early in COVID that I was like, well, I'm not a Democrat anymore. I don't know what I am. I'm politically
And that's
homeless.
okay, right? Yeah.
And I'll vote my conscience on the things that I care about. I care about free speech. I care about kids. Those are the two most important things to me. So I'll vote for whoever seems to be standing up for those two things.
Right.
I think you're never going to align 100% with any candidate or party on everything. So pick the things that matter to you.
Absolutely.
So I came up with this idea to start a brand that sort of rejected the excesses of woke capitalism. You know, all these brands are so woke and so left. And, you know, I don't know if you guys, if you remember this, but Patagonia, you know, the outdoor brand, they had labels in their clothes that said, vote the a-holes out. Like, how can people, you know, feel included in a brand like that? The North
And
Face,
why
which
should
is
that ever happen? North Face, right? Another good example,
the
right?
North Face, which is here in Denver. There was a sort of a pretty high profile instance that a Texas oil and gas company asked them to do this huge order of, you know, jackets for them, and they refused because they didn't want to work with an oil and gas company. But here's the irony, Debbie, is the jackets North Face makes are made from petroleum products, so they literally rely on oil and gas companies to make their products. But it's like they're just so like caught up in woke virtue signaling. And I felt like I think there's an opportunity for a high quality brand
Sure
that
is.
welcomes people that haven't gone insane and can influence the cultural conversation, because I think brands influence culture. And I think a lot of conservative brands are not as they're not great at this. Like, they
I
don't
agree.
make necessarily the best product or the best content. I don't want to smear my compadres, but like, if you think about, I always use this example, which I feel a little bad about, but I'll just use it. Like, if you think about a MyPillow ad, that's not influencing the cultural conversation in a positive way necessarily. But if you think about the ads we make, I think we actually are having an impact on the cultural conversation about protecting women's sports. So I wanted to make a brand that's as high quality, as premium, as elevated as Nike,
Love
basically.
this. Love this. Love this. And one, there's such a market for it. Two, everyone wants to put their monies, their dollars. You vote, put your money where your values are. And you do hate, I mean, I can't tell you how many things that we have stepped away from supporting with our dollars because I'm just not going to,
Right.
I can't stomach it. You know,
What
I just literally can't stomach it.
are the no-goes for you?
Well, I think about Nike. I think about
Sure.
Bud Light. I think about Target. You know, when you are coming after the little kids with the trans message, when you are having men in portrayed as women in clothing and in fashion, I just can't that or just saying we're gonna just go with everything because there are no lines, there are no limits, there are no right and wrong, there is no XX, there is no XY.
Well,
That's it, you know? So you're like, no, sorry.
no, I hear you. And the thing is, you need an alternative because you still need to buy, athletic clothing, and you still need to buy sneakers probably, and you still need to shop for your family like you would at Target for everything. And I
Like
just
we've done
I
a lot
we
with Unitas, with
yeah,
Jonathan. You
great.
know, just I mean, just that opportunity to have a scripture verse. You can have a scripture verse on a shoe if you want to.
That's
And
right.
you
And
don't
the
have to
shoe's
buy
just as
it.
good.
Yeah, you don't and if you don't like it, you don't have to buy it. And that's what we figure with our money too. We don't like it, we don't have to buy it. So now we've got this great clothesline. How hard was this to come up
Well,
with? I guess with your background, maybe not so much, because you were a pro.
I just wrote a Substack on how we came up with it. I had this idea to do a clothing brand that kind of combined my background, the athletics, the apparel and branding, but also my willingness to say things that upset people but are true. So, I don't know. It's like, I think that males competing in women's sports is the existential threat. They're not women's sports if there's men and boys competing in them. So we came up with this idea of XXXY Athletics, me and my creative director who works on my team now. And we launched in March 2024. We're the only brand that really empowers female athletes to speak up in their own defense. And we stand for fair competition. But we also are all about empowering female athletes. So if and when this issue gets solved, we'll be right there to back female athletes on the next issue. And I wanted the quality of the product to be world class. So I think if your moms check us out, you'll find that you're not sacrificing anything if you walk away from Lululemon or Nike or Adidas or any of the big brands. Our quality is just as good, if not better. So we make men's and
Love that.
women's high quality athletic clothing. We work with world class
At first, I thought
athletes.
you were just a woman's line, but then I was like, no, this is men's,
Men
women's.
care. Men care about truth too.
They sure do.
And that's why we just called it XXXY, because that's just a statement of truth. It's just fact.
I love
And
it.
that's, we are grounded in the truth. We are not, I don't think, ideological or political in any way. To your point earlier about COVID, why is it political anyway? This is just a statement of fact. Sex is binary. There are men, there are women. Women deserve their own sports and spaces. And we take a stand. We're willing
100%.
to, be very bold and outspoken, but we also make awesome awesome product. So you
Yeah, I
won't
want to
be
talk. I
disappointed.
do want to talk a little bit about the products. We're going to put your website up here. But just FYI, too, Moms for America, this has been a huge battle for us, protecting our girls, protecting our spaces. No men and women's sports. We were there. I don't know if you were there that day, but we were at the executive order signing. We had
I was.
20, 24 of our moms and daughters were on the stage that day. And this has been a battle for us. So we love to support you. We love to support this
Awesome.
line and let our moms know about it because we do need to be, you've got messaging with it. I mean, I just love it because it's like, it's so, it's just so straightforward. It's like, here we
Yeah,
are.
it's so obvious. Yes. I was there that day of the signing, and a little fun fact, I was standing right behind the president, and I don't know if you remember
I
this,
must have
but
been right next to you then, because I was
at
on
one
the
point
right side. You were on the
I
left
was
side,
right to
maybe?
his left, and I don't know if you remember, but at one point he turned around and said, "Who can take my papers?" He had papers that he was reading from, and he handed them to me because I was
Oh.
standing right behind him,
Oh,
and
so funny.
I still have them on my desk somewhere because why wouldn't you save that? But I will tell your audience what all was on there was a list of people to thank. Like he was speaking off the cuff. He
Yes.
just had a list and he didn't want to forget anyone. But yeah, I was there. I was very proud to be
So
there that
fun.
day.
Yeah, well, so proud of you to be there too and be invited to that because wow, that was a joint effort, wasn't it? It was everybody. It
So
was everybody. All right,
yeah.
tell us about your line really quick so I don't forget this. It's not just t-shirts, it's not just workout leggings. It's a pretty wide variety. I was on there yesterday.
We've been growing the line. We're about a year and a half old, just over. We started with a really tight collection, but yes, we have casual wear, t-shirts with statements, save women's sports, make girls sports XX again. But we have fleece, sweatshirts, hoodies with messaging, without, although the stuff with messaging, people want to be bold when they go out and say it. And then we have really high performance workout gear, everything from leggings to running shorts, sports bras, performance fabrics, moisture wicking, all of it, everything. We have marathoners that wear test our product. So, we are really in it to win it as far as
I
high
love it.
performance. So whether you just do a light Pilates or whether you're going to run Boston, in April, we have gear for you that is perfect for you. So yeah, and it'll keep growing. We've got a bunch of new stuff, a running collection coming this February. So we're going to keep growing. We're going to grow by sport. We have a golf collection coming this February as well.
Wow.
So yeah, we're going to go sport by sport and knock them off and make sure we have all of them. And
That's
like I
so
said,
fun.
we wear tested on elite athletes. We work closely with Riley Gaines. She's been with us from the start. She's a friend and has been a terrific supporter of
Yes.
the brand. But we're bringing on, we also work closely with Michaela Skinner, who is an Olympic gymnast, 2021 silver medalist. So all kinds of awesome folks on our athlete roster. But you should definitely check out the product. And I'd be happy to provide a code for your listeners if that is of interest to you. I should have thought of it beforehand, but we can do
I
that
was
after.
hoping maybe we could get a mom's code.
You got
So
it. You got it. But yeah, don't buy brands that don't support your values. Don't pour
that's right.
money into brands. And you have a great alternative. You have multiples, right? You can buy sneakers from Jonathan's brand. You can buy
Right.
clothing from our brand. He makes clothing too. I think that we have a little wider assortment of clothing, but buy both. There's room for
Yeah,
both of
I
us
mean,
to
here.
succeed.
Jennifer, moms love to shop.
Don't give people gifts that, don't support your values or their values either. We have awesome gifts, fleece, hats, socks, like
Yeah.
everything you could possibly want. And we've
And
got
then we've
great deals
great
now
deals too.
too.
And I just think about even going into summer, my son just started running marathons, actually. Yeah, he just did the marathon here in
Oh, that's
Chicago. So
awesome.
you've
Oh,
got all
wow.
of this momentum of, different seasons and like you said, different sports. And what is the website so we can get that out right away here and
So
we'll put this on the screen as well.
terrific. Yes, the website is xx-xyathletics.com. Or here's a trick to just remember it, a vanity URL, thetruthfits.com. Thetruthfits.com.
I love that. All right,
Check it
some
out.
closing words of advice to moms that maybe their story's not the same as yours, but they are challenged to speak up. I love that you could maybe just encourage them because it is
Yeah.
challenging times right now
It's
being a mom.
it is, and it's scary. I mean, I imagine most of your listeners and fans are already doing it in their own communities. But it is scary, and there are risks. Look, I lost a lot for speaking up during COVID, but you have to do the right thing. And I believe change happens on the ground. So what you do in your own community, when you talk to your neighbor, when you go to the school board meeting and speak up, when you wear the t-shirt, I mean, honestly, that's one of the things I'm most proud of is the t-shirt. We have a t-shirt, it's black with a big green logo. It's shown up at school board meetings and
I
rallies
love
across the
that.
country. And it's like the uniform of common sense right now for moms standing up for their kids. And it's like you don't even have to say anything. You wear the t-shirt that says, I
Right.
support biological reality. Don't be quiet. And I think, like I said, have those one-on-one conversations. I think when I do that with the moms on the soccer team, I think that almost makes more of a difference than being out here, speaking to tons of people, because change does happen on the ground and your voice matters. And when you speak up, they're counting on us not speaking up the other side. They've been able to
Yeah,
bully
they
us
sure are.
into submission, and we're not going to be quiet anymore, and
Silence.
we're everywhere. So just do it. Take the small step, wear the hat. Have the hard conversation, and you'll grow in confidence, and you'll find more people agree with you than you think.
Amen, 100%. And I do think that we have moms agree with more things together than
That's
we
right.
don't. We just get caught up on different things. And if we can come together, like Charlie said, you have to keep the conversation happening. When we stop discussing, that's when things get really out of control. So thank you
So
for
true.
sharing your story. Thank you for just taking a leap forward and saying, hey, this is a new chapter for me and I'm going to impact the culture, and you surely are. So God bless you, and
Thanks.
God bless that company and your
Thank
family over
you.
there. I just love it.
Thank you so much for having me. I love the moms. Go get a
Appreciate
t-shirt.
it.
Go do the
All
work.
right. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you again, Jennifer. And big news, Jennifer mentioned in the interview just a little bit ago that she was going to give us a code, and we have the code now. So it is MFA20. So if you go to the website, you order any of their clothing, you will get 20% off. And she said that there's not an expiration date on that. So, moms, we've got 20% off at XXXY Athletics. So, thank you, Jennifer, and we will be shopping. All righty. So, again, moms, thank you for being a part of this program. Again, I really hope that you take advantage of all our amazing programs and resources so we can help support you on your journey through motherhood. Visit us at momsforamerica.us. We have such incredible information to help support you at every facet. We say we have everything from parental rights to public policy, things that happen at your kitchen table, all the way to Congress. Moms for America has it all. All right, moms, I hope to see you next week. And as always, let's keep changing our country, one home at a time. Thanks so much, and God bless. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.